back into the text for a few more verses here, as we will begin 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the final chapter of the epistle. Where he continues on with the premise of future events. And this section from verses 1 through 11, I titled The Need to Remain Oriented to True Imminency. That is, the timing of the impending rapture. That's verses 1 through 11. The timing of the rapture. He begins here, Paul does, with the thief in the night motif in regards to this period of history. Verse 1. Greek here. Now it's to the times and the epics, brothers. The judge of death now, but as to, concerning, is your preposition peri, P-E-R-I. The times and the epics. The times is your definite article with a noun, generally masculine and plural here, of hope, chronos. We have chronology, chronometer, things of that nature, C-H-R-O-N-O-S, chronos, time spans, set times or durations, and twofold here, nephew Kai, also the epics. The epics is a definite article with our noun, again, genitive masculine plural, of ho kairos, K-A-I. R-O-S, literally means the seasons. In the context of time, it would mean epics or events. Certain characteristics that manifest or represent that time, that period of time. Brothers, he again addresses them with our vocative case of address in the plural, Adelphos, A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S, brothers, you have no need of anything to be written to you. You have is your present active indicative, verb of here, the indicative of reality, of echo, to have, E-C-H-O, here, no need, yet the negative U, plus, our noun for need here, accusative case, crea. C-H-R-E-I-A, no need or no necessity of anything to be written to you. To be written is a present passive infinitive, here being a complementary infinitive, fulfilling the understanding of what they had no need of, grapho, G-R-A-P-H-O. To be written to you, you reference to the Thessalonians, yes, you assume, pronoun. Verse 2, for, and he explains now why they had no need. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Explanatory conjunction gar, G-A-R. You yourselves, you have the emphatic use of the pronoun autos. A-U-T-O-S. You yourselves know. Here's a perfect active indicative of our verb oida, knowledge verb, O-I-D-A, discerning, to know with certainty, with the perfect impact of the perfect tense, to know absolutely, if you will, know with certainty, full well. Not only do they know with certainty, but they know full well. That's the adverb akribos, A-K-R-I-B-O-S. Thoroughly, full well, or accurately. It's used five times in the New Testament. That, the day of the Lord. You have your conjunction hoti, H-O-T-I, introduces the context of what they know or discern. The day of the Lord, you have your noun day, Hemera, H-E-M-E-R-A, the Lord, Kurios. Kennedy, the description here, K-U-R-I-O-S, the Lord, will come. Will come as a present deponent indicative of our verb erchomai, E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Omai Indian, that's a deponent verb versus a passive or middle. Will come or is approaching as he now compares it or likens it to just like a thief in the night. And yet the comparative conjunction hos, H-O-S, just as or like, emphasizes comparison to the thief. Follow with your adverb huto, H-O-U-T-O, in this way. So the first one, hos, compares it to the thief. In this way, huto, emphasizes the manner of approach. It's like a thief and how a thief would do this. It's the idea. It precedes the verb will come in the Greek. It's not translated in our New American in the English. A thief in the night. A thief is our noun kleptes. We get kleptomaniac, klepto, K-L-E-P-T-E-S. Used 16 times. A thief in night, or the night, again, preposition in, augmentative of time, follow with our noun for night, nux, N-U-X. So rereading here, verses 1 and 2. Now to the times and the events, or epics, brothers, seasons. You have no need of anything be written to you. Verse 2, 4, explaining, you yourselves know with certainty, completely or full well, accurately, that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. All right, analysis of verses 1 and 2. 1, being newly informed as to the dead in Christ enjoying resurrection at the rapture, with those remaining, which was the focus of interest in verses 13 through 18. Attention now returns back to the doctrine these saints know. As we've noted, these saints were confused in the matter in regards to those who might die before the rapture. They understood the rapture would happen. They understood that there would be saints living on this planet that would not experience death. But they were not clear in their mind exactly about those who were deceased before the rapture occurs. And therefore, based on that, we have some of the more enlightening aspects in regards to the rapture recorded for us as Paul comes in and gives them the doctrine necessary for them to gap with clear understanding that to all believers will be involved in regards to the rapture. And then the sequent events is joined to it. So now, having given them that doctrine, he returns back to the doctrine that they already have and that they do indeed know. And to having the issue of resurrection clearly before them, including the progression of events surrounding the rapture itself. Christ's return with the commands and the sound of the trumpets and the dead receiving their bodies first and then those living. A refocus on the time of the rapture now becomes of utmost importance. So a refocus back on the time of the rapture now becomes of utmost importance. That piece of doctrine has been filled in. That blank's been filled in. Now, what remains extremely important is that you stay oriented to this whole scenario in regards to your time and place in history, in regards to his eschatology. That's the idea behind why now Paul is coming into this section of dissertation, narrative, explanation in this regards. So 3, this as a next logical prophetic focus concerning the resurrection of the church. Naturally, one would say, oh, we're going to be resurrected. Well, when? When is this going to happen? Oh, cool. Do I need to go sell all my stuff and charge up my credit cards to the max and enjoy life because it's going to happen tomorrow? Well, if you want to be an idiot, I guess you can. But am I saying it's going to happen tomorrow? No, I'm not. Some people do that. So the next logical prophetic focus as to what occurs, following what occurs, is when. So for the timing now of the rapture, or when it could and might occur in history, is known as its imminence, quote, end quote, or, quote, nearness, to be imminent, be impending, absolutely impending, and close. Prefer Hebrews 10:25 is the principle behind when the rapture occurs. Hebrews 25 regards to the exhortation for assembly. The exhortation centers on its importance, especially in light of the imminence of the rapture. Not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, becoming, if you will, imminent. It's going to happen pretty quick, is the idea. Quick in terms of comparison to the longevity of history. So the time of the rapture, or when it could and might occur in history, is known as its imminence in theological circles, or nearness. So five, now a hazard for believers. And here Paul's dealing with a very young church still. Even though they're positive, even though they have, like if you will, jumped on the horse for the doctrinal ride in an unbelievable way, immediately, right off the bat. Obviously, they still are very young. They are immature. And as we know, in regards to immaturity, a lot of times they can be impetuous. They are, will not be patient in regard to things. They want their oompa loompa now, that is, type of scenario. And so a hazard for believers regards to doctrine and prophetic events, especially one of such magnitude and a personal direct effect upon us. Here, young believers, is to ignore other prophetic realities that are part of the mix of prophetic eschatology. Immaturity sometimes, they think they know more than they really do. They get a little information, and all of a sudden they think they're dangerous and they know it all. That's another mark of immaturity. As you mature and grow up, you recognize the more you know, the less you know. See? And so a hazard for believers and immature believers is to not be patient. Give time to fill in the blanks and all that would be associated in regards to the timing and when this event might occur, other prophetic realities that are associated with it. And a lot, if not most, of cases of prophecy that is obviously of great importance has around it, surrounding and associated events with it. And these things too must come to conclusion and be fulfilled in order for the main prophecy to itself be fulfilled. And so it is in regards to the rapture. So six, the timing of the rapture is a good example, as it has been misrepresented throughout church age history. One doctrine that obviously people vacillated back and forth and presented their theories and different opinions on since essentially the beginning of the church. We know that for a fact because in 2 Thessalonians, Paul has to readdress his church because of a forged letter that the tribulation is already in place. Already. Now, we're talking in the 50 AD, some 20 years into the church. And already these fallacious ideas, and obviously we understand the exuberance, the zeal in regard to people, but you got to get your emotions under control and realize what the facts say rather than what you want it to say in regards to these things. And the rapture is probably a very obvious doctrine that one can see throughout history being misrepresented in that respect. So seven, a dominant hazard now in this respect has been teaching, promoting false hope of it occurring prematurely. The crying wolf syndrome in regards to the rapture. It's going to happen. My parents were fundamentalists. And, I can remember getting on doctrine and started gapping the doctrine in regards to eschatology and the rapture and recognizing that we were in the fig tree generation. And I took that home to my parents. Oh, we heard that ever since we was a kid. Where's it at? And this whole idea in regards to promoting that the rapture is going to happen tomorrow. You know, we're right here. Well, sooner or later, you will be right there. And that's part of the hazard that some people, that come out of that background, they can fall into that ditch in regards to, all right, but now we are getting close, and because it didn't happen in their time when they wanted it to happen, they're just going to disregard it. So it's just one of those things that is part of the hazards of the Christian life and not being correctly oriented to eschatology. Not being correctly oriented to prophecy and as it's to be applied in our own life. So the false hope of it occurring prematurely, in contrast to it ain't going to happen, or we're already actually into the millennial age, as the Roman Catholicism teaches. We are the new Israel, the church. They are. We're not saying we are, but they are. That's what they see in their own eyes. So come and kiss my ring as I wear my nice little red dress in it. Never mind. Crazy. So eight, a good example, obviously, again, of this is seen in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 and following, where Paul has to address their susceptibility and falling for a forged letter indicating they had entered the tribulation. Now again, they're a young church. And as it comes out, they received a letter that apparently had a signature or the implications that it was written by Paul, but it was a forged letter. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 and 2. Now we request you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, i.e. the rapture, and the events that will usher in the tribulation, and our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us. That kind of covers the whole deal of ideas that might be floating around from false communicators. Or even if it's in a written form, as if from us, see. As if, you know, Paul's, this is what Paul's teaching now. To the fact that the day of the Lord has come. In other words, notes, you know, it'd be like somebody inserting notes, handing out notes. Oh, look what Ken did. Ken approved this. Here you go. And it's something against what I taught before. It's in contrast or contradictory to that. This is what happened to the Thessalonians. And now they're like, oh, well, Paul changed the teaching. What happened here? Like, that's going to happen. You know, if he's teaching the truth to begin with, why would he change in midstream? So, but anyway, we'll have fun with that when we get there. But that's obviously a great example how quick and how fast these attacks can come. And in the deceivious ways that they can come. Understand this. People who want to get under your doctrinal skin and try to upset you spiritually, they're not immune in regards to using deceit. All forms of deceit to try to do that. You know, people that have a nature of, you know, one way, and all of a sudden their nature completely changes in their approach to you, where they're kind of, you know, abrupt and that type of thing, and all of a sudden they're really nice to you all the time. That's a warning flag. What's going on here? So, understand, the SCA, hypocrisy knows no bounds. So, we're dealing here with the doctrine of prophecy, the importance of prophecy, and understanding it correctly and orienting to it as it is applied to our time in history. For them, as it applied in their time in history. So now, 9, a primary reason for failure of believers to orient to the true imminence when it is near, truly near. The rapture is a false notion that it could occur any time during the church age. That's an idea that is still promoted even to today. Even among ice circles, or types of churches, where they use ice probable, categorical, exegetical, I might say, in a lot of cases, loosely, format or formula in regards to teaching the Scripture. Many of these teach the rapture could have happened any time during the church age. In fact, we've had people blow out of Bible class because we say no, it couldn't. And they don't want to hear that. Their arguments are obviously empty, generally speaking, but they're there. And the matter of fact is, no, it could not have occurred any time during the church age. That is because there's other doctrine that's associated with the doctrine of the rapture, and these things must be put in their proper place. These things too must be fulfilled in order for the rapture to occur. And it's simply a disregard in regards to other parts of Scripture that brings about this attitude and false notion that the rapture could occur at any time. So 10, this again, that's the point. Point 10, this regardless of historical and prophetic events, Scripture clearly sets forth as having to precede the rapture. Certain things must be in place in order for the rapture to occur. So 11, obviously, before the return of Christ, certain signs must be in place, including the fig tree. The fig tree is as taught by Christ in Matthew 24:32. And I'm just going to stop us right here. And it's a good place to pick up Sunday morning and let you out a little early to get into this. I don't want to be halfway through this because it has a flow that I want to maintain the continuity of in regards to his teaching. So we'll pick this up Sunday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.